sometimes it's still difficult if you have a Linux system. So, okay, now we have it. Welcome everybody. I want to show you some slides about Evaglia. Well, you've heard in several presentations using the tool or using the DGP. And I just want to give you, first of all, a short introduction. Again, what the tool does, or what's the background of the DGP. Then I want to show you a little bit the problems with the version which were used in the last years, all this 0.9x version, because there was one bigger problem with that, with the UGITs. But then I will come to the features which I implemented in the last, let's say, 2.5 years, step by step, which are listed up here, mainly dealing with view type handling, supported view types, and those are really integrated in the last 2 months, low light correction and age correction. And there are several other small things I implemented. I show you that within the presentation. So, first of all, a very short introduction. Sorry for the people who have seen all this, those slides, I only few. All the data which were used for providing the DGP were based on user assessments we did together with Jens Christofferson in 2006 in a test laboratory. We had, sorry for that, pressed the wrong button. We did user assessments under different facade options, facade sizes. We had about 74 subjects at Germany and Denmark, and we had about 350 different situations which we took. We had different shading devices which were conventional or less conventional, like specular, because we wanted to have glare situations. We had a transparent foil where you could see the sun also a bit of clear. We have an HDR camera, a special one from Techno Team, which is calibrated up to, 50 million candela per square meter, so we can catch the sun. So the outcome was the daylight glare probability, which should describe more or less the amount of people who are bothered by glare from daylight, and the formula mainly consists of the vertical eye illuminance here, and the contrast in the scene, or let's say the bigger spots you have from specular reflections or other glare sources within the field of view, and we have a constant at the end. And we find out that, within our study, that we've got a very, very good correlation between the user assessments, which were this axis, and this is the daylight glare probability here. There were some restrictions also because we had not the whole range of visual environments during our settings, and since we didn't have so many dark scenes, we restricted the DGP to be valid over those values here. So in the lower part, we didn't have so much evaluations. Of course, if it's darker, we usually don't receive glare, and so in principle, this is the DGP. Evaglare is a tool which I developed during this research project. What does Evaglare? In principle, it detects glare sources in one step. It calculates the solid angles of pixels, glare sources, has all the geometric, the angle information within the image. It calculates the vertical illuminance from the image, and then it can calculate various glare metrics as they are now, but it's also easy to implement some other things if wanted. And it can be used for several other things you want to do, for example, calculate average luminance of surfaces and so on. I think in 2009 I gave a tutorial how to do that also. There were some open questions regarding the scientific background. What happens with the dark situations? What happens if we have all the test persons, because in our study we had test persons just more or less between 20 and 30. And the other thing is what happens if we are using fabrics as shading devices, because this was not covered in the first study. So we had another four-year research project dealing with those issues. I just want to say that I don't present the big results here, just the outcome of the age and what affects the UI right now. So we did use assessment with different age groups. We had also assessment with fabric types. And so we also validated that DGP is also valid for fabric types. And we also had assessments with reduced transmission. So we had also the lower part where we have, let's say, low brightness scenes also. And we used the same camera as in the first study, but we had a different setup because we got a second one. And so we used both rooms for user assessments, and we had the camera just beside the head. In the first study, it was in the same position in the other room. Okay, so this was a short introduction what EMI Glare does in the past and how it was developed. So now I come to the problems we had with the software. As far as I know, I have to say, there was only one problem, more or less. And this was coming from, let's say, the view type handling, or let's say, the validity of a view. The question is, what could be an invalid view in seen as if you have an radiance image. This can happen if you have a missing view information. And this happens if people are using some separate software and the view information is completely removed and then plug it into my Glare. I got some emails, well, I got many emails about EMI Glare, and I got some cases where the header was completely removed. So and in this case, there is we have an invalid view, but this is not the only thing. And the other thing is something which not all people know, and I just want to say here. If you treat the images by, let's say, tools which are provided by Radiance, like pcompose or other things, the view is not valid anymore in, let's say, in the if you want to call it, using Radiance internal routines. Of course, because you can manipulate with those tools the image completely, so that the view type you provided originally is not really valid anymore. That means as soon as you use such tools, the view is not valid anymore. I give you an example. This is one of our user assessments here, and well, the reality is that in this image we have, I don't know, 6,000 lux and a DGP of 0.5 more or less. And if you use the same image and you use pcompose just doing nothing, so I scale the image with 1, and so if you get the same image more or less, but in that case, the tool says afterwards the view is not valid anymore, and so it's a tab is added in the string header of the view. And so it looks like this. If you look in the original header, it looked like this. I made it here in thick letters. And here is a tab added, indicating that the view is not valid anymore. And what happens if you use EMI Glare in the old version? We didn't check other routines if it's saying an invalid view or not. We just called the Radiance routines, giving back the view. And then we got back the standard view in Radiance, which is different. And so you get wrong results. In that case, in this image, you get 780 lux and 0.23. So, and this is a really big difference. Yeah. So you cannot use the thing. And so many people did it like this without knowing that as soon as you treat the image like this, that it's not valid anymore. But on the other hand, we didn't implement some routines in EMI Glare telling the people the view is not valid. But I would say 95% of the emails I got, I have strange results we're coming from this. So, the only solution was we needed to have another handling of the view type. And we also implemented the other view types as well. That was the reason why coming up with a new version this year, the 1.0 version at the beginning. And so we implemented some routines checking if the view is really valid. And if it's not valid, then you get an error message and the program is terminated now. So you get no valid view specified. It's now more or less similar as it is in FindClear before. But if you want to use EmailClear, in that case you can provide a view also now with a command line option. So you can just use the view type and or view file or the vertical or the horizontal size to the value to the command line, and then you get the right view, or you can set the view as you want to. And well, as many people wanted to have other view types than the VTA, which was the original only supported view type, we implemented now all existing view types except the parallel view. It's not possible. But I would say the VTA is still preferred. It's not that I'm not sure that it works, but well, we have just long-term experience that it works. You have to be careful if you're using other views than fisheye, if you don't cover the 180 degree, because then the vertical illuminance cannot be calculated out of the image. But it is no problem if you, for example, have a camera and in a real environment and an illuminance meter, so you can catch your glare sources with the camera and provide the vertical illuminance by hand with the minus E option and feed it in, and then EmailClear uses the value you provide the command line and takes the glare sources which it finds in the image. Okay, so this was the big thing we did this year at the beginning, so in February. The other thing is this low light correction. The thing is, what shall we do if we have low light scenes, 0.2, or the vertical illuminance less than 300 or 80 lux? This is a lot. We need some kind of correction. So, as I said before, we did this user assessments here, and we had a lot of data. That's on the one hand. So I could have changed the DGP equation, but since it's used since many years, it's difficult to change your original equation just if you have additional data and then you come out with a new thing. But I wanted to have, well, an extension of the validity of the equation. And what I did now is, let's say it's a correction factor for low light scenes. So the original equation is not changed, but the range is just extended. What I did is more or less an S curve between 0 and 300 lux, and which looks like this. That means as soon as we reach a vertical illuminance of 380 or 400 lux, the factor is 1, and if it's below, it goes like this. We saw in the user assessments that it's not necessary to take into account a stronger weight of the glare sources if we go to the lower brightness scene, as long as we are still in the photopic things which we had our user assessments. So I thought originally it may be that we have to change the weight between the vertical illuminance and the glare source part of the equation, but the correlation showed that there is no significant difference. So I could use just this kind of modification of the equation. Regarding age influence, We did also user assessments. We had different age groups, again, between 20 and 30. We know that between 30 and 50, it's not so a big change, and we had limited time for the whole project because we looked also on other issues. So we had other test persons in age group 50 to 60 and 60 to 70. The project was done in cooperation with the University of Kassel, which they had 9 office buildings and 15 offices each, but they also had a lot of, let's say, older people in the study. And what we found is, we found an improvement of the correlation if we take into account an age influence, which means if you are older, you get more sensitive to the glare because it's more probable that you get stray light in the eye. We found an improvement, but I would say it was not really very strong. But on the other hand, we had this office study, which clearly showed that there is an improvement if we change it for the higher ages. And we developed also a correction factor for the age influence, which is like this, and the curve is looks like that. That means in the age of 60, the DGP is increased by 25%. That means multiplied by 1.25, something like that. If you think it now, Ivan Lehrer has now this option in, so you can specify with minus A the age if you want to have the DGP for another age. But you can do it also afterwards by hand. If you have already results with the old thing, you can just multiply by this and then you get the results. You don't have to run all the time Ivan Lehrer because it takes some time to detect the glasses. The default value is 20 if you run EVIGLIA without the means of minus A option. Now I come to the other things I implemented in EVIGLIA in the last 2 years. There are more or less smaller things. So you can use it also just for calculating the vertical illuminance because I've got several requests. Oh, is it possible without glare detection because this is taking time? Just having the vertical illuminance from the image goes very quickly. So if you use it with minus V in capital letters, it just calculates the vertical illuminance and gives out the value, which is much faster than having glare sources. It calculates also disability glare. This is according to Poynter. If someone is interested, you can send me an email. This was because I had we had a study internally, and we had to use this one. I want to include also the CIE disability glare equation, which are a little bit different to this one. Right now, but only this is included. You get that if you use the detailed output option on the last line of your the output, and it's usually the disability willing movements that you get. This is another interesting thing I implemented. You know, if you're using the 180 degree image, it is more than the visual field of view. And there were also some requests, and we also had a study internally just to look at the field of view. And so I implemented the field of view based on the Guth publication, which is from 1958. And there are two options I should show you shortly because, it's a total field of view or it's the field of view seen by both eyes. It's a central thing. So, again, this is the same image I showed before, the 180. And if you use Ivan glare, you get this glare source here. And if you are looking for one eye, it looks like that. And this is the central view, it's like that. So. Yeah, you can just apply those options and then you get those results. So, another thing this summer, I integrated also the direction vector of glare sources. And since there were yesterday some presentations, I included those images here. The original problem I had is I should determine the amount of minutes per day and hours per year when glare occurs by reflections on the PV installation. So you see, this is the on-site photography, high dynamic range also. And what you see here, it's they have some coatings on the PV so that you don't see only the sun disk, but you see also the scattering, and it looks like this later on. And so I had to model all these things. So this here is the radiance model I did. And that would be if it's just the sun for the same thing. And the other specific option problem I had was that I should detect the angle between the sun and the found glare sources. The reason for this is if the angle between a glare source and the sun, or between two glare sources, is less than 10 degrees, the brain perceives just one glare source. You cannot distinguish anymore between those things. And since, well, I was involved in this court trial here, I had to specify if this is a bad situation or it's a normal situation. And you cannot say it's a bad situation if the angle is less than 10 degrees, because you perceive anyhow the glare by the sun. So I had to find out those situations when it's closer. And but that means I need to find this angle. That was the problem. And that was the reason why I included this direction vector, because the new version now provides a direction vector of each glare source. And then, of course, you can use a scalar product, and you get the cosinus, then you get the cosinus of the angle. So that's the easy way. The way how to use it is now just using the minus D option, and then in the glare source section, you cannot read it here, but at the later end you get three additional values, which are the direction vectors now from the glare source. So, and now I'm more or less at the end. I did also some other tiny changes over the last years, and one is, of course, which is very important, because people are coming to me and using EvaGlare and say, well, what version you are using and so on. There is a version numbering also internally, so if you just use the minus V, then you get the versioning out. You can use it in scripting now. That means piping in an image, so you don't have to write the image on a hard disk, so you can just pipe it into EvaGlare and evaluate it. At one point, I had to change the threshold factor for the absolute glare source detection, which is the minus B option, was changed from 500 to 100. And since there were so many failures of people regarding the high peaks in a scene, I changed the default value. So the peak extraction usually is default now, which wasn't the case before. If you don't want to use it now, you have to use the minus X option. Yeah, that's more or less what I have. The version is available in the next day, so I already sent some days ago the email to my colleague, put it on the website, so it should be really online. Yeah, in the next days. I don't know when he can do it, but I would say next week. If you need it really urgently before sending an email, I'll send it to you directly. Thank you. Thank you.
The result, like you mentioned, in the early version of the valve vector.
If you're using PCOM?
No, PFILT in RAD, nothing in RAD will affect the view specifications, and PFILT in general doesn't touch it.
Okay.
It's just PCOMPOSE and PCOM. PCOM,
right.
Because it takes several images that might have different views, so it might not be valid in PCOMPOSE, because when you crop an image or change it in any way, you affect the interpretation of the view. So it's more on the ballot.
When you master the field of view using new function, this is also considered in the calculation of the vertical units currently?
It's a good question. I thought of this morning and I didn't look into source code, but I think the vertical illuminance is calculated before and then it's masked. But I can look it up, and if it's interesting for everybody, I can tell it later. I'm not sure, but I think it's calculated before, and then it's masked. I think Axel was first.
Yeah, the view parameters you pass on the command line don't include VD. So the direction vector you get out of this relative to the standard view, which is looking more for what is the perception.
It's like looking that. Well, the center is 0, 0, 0. Then, if you don't have it there, yeah, that's
right. Okay. Yeah. But it will consider the view direction if the image has one image.
Yeah.
Okay,
right. Definitely.
Okay.
Well, we can think of also putting in the minus D also there. But if you provide a minus VF, I think everything is taken from there.
Okay.
So. I think so. And the other thing is, I didn't mention that before. If you provide view options, those view options override the other view options which are in the image. In case you have a valid view and you provide additionally those ones,
yes,
it's always overwritten with the things you provide. That's right.
I just wanted to know if the Guth masks also change what glare sources you can see, or if it's just a visual interpretation. Like, if you mask out a part of a glare source with that, will the size and the position index of the glare source change, or will it be the same in the DGP calculation?
The position index is always the same. So as soon as you see the glare sources,
sure,
then
the center of the glare source, right? So if you cut off part of it, the position.
It's different. The way how it goes is the first step is it calculates the vertical illuminance, then the image is cropped, and then the glare sources are found. You know, that means you get only the glare sources which are in this field of view. If they are somewhere outside, then they are not existent anymore.
Yeah. Okay, but so in that case, the full hemisphere position index of a glare source might be different than the cropped of the glare source.
But I should say, I included that more or less not for using the glare assessment, but just for telling to the people, okay, this is what you can see in reality, it's too high, this is the part, and for making the average luminance of that, because all our studies are not based on this crop thing, so I really wouldn't use the DGP or the other glare results out of that. We implemented it for cropping and see what's the average luminance in this part. I would be really careful using glare metrics with a cut thing, because I'm not sure if it's really correlating. Because people are not fixed like that with a head usually, so it's they're moving a little bit around, and then it is always bigger and so on. So it's the way how the DGP is most developed. So.
Yeah. I just got my answer.
Yeah.
Really simple question. How is vertical illuminance computed exactly from a fisheye view like this?
It's just simple, the integration of each luminance of the pixel.
But how many pixels?
Yeah, all the pixels which are inside the view. That means.
Why is it then called vertical illumination? It is hard. I don't understand.
It's because you have a fisheye view which is hemispherical and it looks vertically if you want a vertical direction. So when you integrate the evolved in coming direction, well, it's like a luminance sensor.
Well,
it's pointing horizontal.
It's pointing vertical. Yeah.
Well,
the view direction is horizontal, which means that the plane is vertical, and that's why vertical luminance comes from the plane orientation. Yeah.
This is just some standard that people just because the luminance in the lighting design is always meant to be horizontal, table. And of course, when you stand up, and it's also there is just the term vertical luminance. Still causes some misunderstanding.
In principle, you are completely right. I'm just calculating the illuminance of this image because if your camera is looking upwards, I calculate the horizontal illuminance, of course. And if the camera is lying here looking upwards, it's a horizontal illuminance. Yeah. And the software doesn't know what is really the angle of the camera, so it's. It calculates always the illuminance of the given image.
And then a simple follow-up question. I think there was also somebody saying yesterday that every solid angle is not one of the. It's a view type that you cannot get from radius. But it seems that a lot of people are using these every solid angle lenses. So it would be nice to be able to simulate. If you saw an angle, use the brilliance.
Do you want to implement it? Implementing new view types in radius is a pain in the ass, and it's such a tiny difference in the case that you will never see it in a view, and so it's basically a week's worth work to implement this thing, and you can warp the image. Is the bottom line. I mean, I could write
to make a MATLAB script that warps from one projection to the other, but you get very ugly boundary effects because there is, the last 5 degrees, there's actually quite a big difference.
Is it 5 degrees at the edges? What is the difference?
I mean, the last row of pixels is actually quite a lot in one projection and not in the other. I forget which is which. I just made a study a couple of years ago and tried to. I made this MATLAB script and then I kept getting sort of half black pixels seeping into my view when I did the reprojection because I didn't know how to do the proper filtering.
Yeah, the last time I implemented a new view type, it was for Axel because he really wanted the stereographic view, which actually looks interesting and different. But it took 2 weeks to implement, and it's just a big pain. And in this case, you're only using it for numerics. So you don't actually care about the visual aspects. So it'd be easiest to write a warping function to do it. And if you can send me, or someone can send me, the exact formulation of what an equal solid angle view is relative to an equal angular view, then I don't think it's too difficult to write a warping function in PCOM that would map from one to the other, and then it's just a little script wrapper would put the view type. Or I mean, you can't have a view type associated with that, I don't think. But
I'm certainly not advocating causing anything. I thought it would be.
No, it's really difficult because you have. You have to have maps going one way, and you have to have maps going back the other way, and you have a whole bunch of code that figures out what the solid angle of a pixel is here and there, and it's just there's a lot of little pieces that have to be put in there, so it's a pain. I mean, that's why it took me 2 weeks. It's like I was still finding, oh, I forgot that one. Oh, and there's that one. It's like it's in a lot of places, not one place.
Okay, maybe one last question or no more questions?
Good. Then we will invite Kevin Sonega from the School of Architecture.
Might be some quite different phenomenon when you deal with roof light.
because then the incoming vertical illuminance is very much different, and the horizontal will actually be bigger. That could be interesting.
Yeah, just a short answer to it. It depends really on your scene. So there are many scenes where I can see there is a relationship. Well, of course, you have a relation between horizontal and vertical illuminance, but as soon as you have glare sources in your field of view, it might be completely different. So if you have specular lines or whatever, then it cannot be covered by horizontal illuminance anymore. So that's it's a little bit difficult to discover edges.
Then I have another question. Do you have light control features in the tools? Since this is a daylight glare tool, do you have something to then propose optimizations over different types of shading to use, for instance, micro shade?
It's currently not in the tool. It would be interesting, but it's just the analysis of the situation. Because so then you would have the output and then say, okay, I want shades, and then you would make a new model using the micro shades. Into the tool again.
Yeah. Good.
Okay, well, thank you.